And then full start.
Welcome back to the press box on a nice, beautiful Wednesday in the Bluegrass, April the 24th. Keeneland is finishing up. Churchill Downs is gearing up. And I have two of the most up guys in the history of horse racing. Ryan Dickey, the man of all seasons, the man of comes down from Detroit, Michigan, just to play a presence in the horse business. And is going to do so in a dominating fashion, like he does in everything else he does. And Ed DeRosa, the director of marketing over at BrisNet, and a man without, who has few opinions, let's put it that way. But the ones he has, he states with conviction, and that is what we like best. Ed and Ryan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why, thanks. Always a wonderful introduction. I always appreciate it.
Well, you know, I think I always enjoy having you two guys on because of the three of us, I have enough here for all three of us. So
thanks.
That's the only thing that I bring to the table. Derby is in about 10 days away now. Ed, you've been out to the track. You've seen some horses making around the oval there. Give us your impressions. As we're 10 days out, so something close to that?
Yeah, I think the big somewhat storyline for me is what hasn't been a storyline. Very few defections, and in fact, the ones we've had are basically horses on the bubble deciding to pull up stakes and point to the Preakness. Owendale, very deep on the Derby list, that had made that. And said that earlier, and then another Twist of Fate this week, both targeting the Preakness, always mining, never was pointing for the Derby. So this is a rare year where the Preakness already has some solid probables. So to me, that's sort of been the storyline, Gene and Ryan, the past week or so. Usually we do have a defection from the body for any number of reasons. And as of right now, seems like all systems are go for the top 20.
Well, Ryan, it's been tough getting in the 20, so I guess they figured if we're going to fight to get in and we've finally got a perch, we're going to stay in as long as we can stay in.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that every single owner of every one of these horses has, to some extent, some Derby fever. I know some of them have been there before and some of them have won it, but most this is a pinnacle right here. So, you know, you got a horse in, you might as well go for it.
You know, I don't know how you guys handicap the Derby, but I have kind of taken a backwards approach, and maybe that's what I do to life as well, or some would argue that's the case. But I start with horses that I can throw out or horses that I do throw out. Now, that doesn't bode well in the years that Mind That Bird kind of slops along the rail and jumps up and wins, but you know, I think there's at least 20% of this field that I can eliminate. How do you go about narrowing your focus, Ryan, as you get handicapping-wise?
Well, we're probably built from the same cloth because I do the same thing. In a field with 20, I usually like to look at who I can get rid of first. And I think I touched on this when we spoke about the Derby last week. I have lists. I make little lists, and my biggest list now and always is horses that I do not like to hit the board, which, you know, we know what hit the board means. I guess there's some people on social media who don't know what hit the board means, but we are going to toss. These are the horses I do not like in the Derby, so I'll just get right into it. I don't like Country House. I don't like Long Range Toddy, Gray Magician, High Call. Master Fencer, who's coming to Keeneland real soon. He is in Chicago in quarantine right now. He'll be in Keeneland, I think tomorrow is when they expect him. Pluska Parfait or Pluka Parfait, depending on who you ask. War of Will, I think we talked about War of Will and why I don't like him last week. And then Win, Win, Win. Now, there's a horse that I'm kind of leaning towards putting in this list, and it's not based solely on handicapping, but it's based a little bit on, I think a lot of people really like By My Standards. And every year we get a quote-unquote wise guy horse, and right now, just reading social media, it seems like everybody likes By My Standards. I have seen that horse on the top of someone's prominent Derby list, so I'm not going to say that his horse has no chance, but I think he's got some distance questions, but his odds will be there. If he wins the Derby or if he hits the board in the Derby, it's going to cost me a lot of money, so I'm going to put him in my top category as of right now.
You know, I think you've hit close to home, Brian, as you know, we have developed this relationship over the last 3 or 4 weeks. You may have started out just a bit shy, but, you know, I think that there is one person on this call that does like By My Standards, and it's not me.
Yeah.
So I just narrowed it down to the guy who has somehow, some way, developed an affinity for the Louisiana Derby winner. Ed, do you want to defend your position on By My Standards?
Yeah, it's admittedly a little frustrating to see him see the wise guy horse. I mean, that's definitely not a horse you really want to be on. I do think part of that's a function of he was the earliest arrival to Churchill. He's had some published workouts in the time frame that other horses were still running their final prep. So he's had a chance to wow the local media, and he's the one they're talking about. But I would say over the next week, I'm hoping, as these horses arrive and we get some final works in, that the shine will come off eventually, not because he looks dull, but just because others are going to take the headlines as well. I think 20-1 is reasonable on this horse, and that's definitely a price I'd be willing to accept. I don't have as many tosses as Ryan. The one that I absolutely do, if this were a game of Russian roulette, if the chamber comes up Gray Magician, I'm toast. I mean, it's just not a horse I'm using.
Well, you know, I'm with you in that category. We do agree on something, Ed. So there you go. Mark that down, Ryan. Put that in the category. But I agree. I think I immediately toss out the buy horses, immediately toss out just a number of these. I don't like either one to come out of the top two out of the Florida Derby. I think that was a fraudulent race just based on pure speed. I'm never going to bet a maiden to win the Kentucky Derby so the runner-up in the Florida Derby is. You know, I immediately tossed out the Sunland Derby. I don't like that race either. So I don't like the chances of the Japanese horse, although I'm glad to see that the Kentucky Derby is gaining international interest, and I'd love to see a legitimate horse from Japan come over and have a shot, and I think that's would be great for the game and the sport and the Derby itself. But I narrowed the focus pretty dramatically. And to be honest, I this year I'm a big fan of the horses that come out of the fairgrounds. I that's where I send my horse or horses when I have some in training, because I think it's the best winter facility in the country. I think the racetrack is fair and the grass course is great, and I think they come out of there in great, showing great tone and color and conditioning. I just don't like this year's version of the Louisiana Derby at all. I think the top horse in there never ran, got a chance to run. He was hurt, War of Will, right out of the starting gate. So I eliminate the Florida Derby. I eliminate the Louisiana Derby. I eliminate the Dubai Derby. I eliminate Sunland. And suddenly I'm down to really kind of a narrow focus. But, Ed, you've been over to Churchill. You've seen, other than By My Standards, has any horse looked good to you on the track that maybe you had previously dismissed, or have they reaffirmed your position?
Yeah, it's tough for me because my perch out there is I pretty much just see the gallop out if they do a published work, and then, you know, maybe get, you know, an eighth of a mile to a quarter of a mile of a gallop if they're going all the way around and not real work. But, you know, Tacitus, the thing that struck me with him is he actually worked in company And by the time I saw him, you know, heading into the backstretch of that first turn, he was all alone. And told me in my earpiece he had worked in company. I would have thought he worked, you know, that he was completely alone. And it wasn't a brilliant work, you know, time-wise, like, oh, we just blew the doors off some, you know, some stable mate. You know, was completely professional, and he just looked awesome and well in hand. And I think this is the type of year, our friend Scott Shapiro, colleague, he's made some comments about maybe Tacitus being a plotting type, and I definitely get that watching his races. But I'm kind of going a little tea leaf action here and trying to read what I think they'll do on Derby Day. I think with the spotlight, I'm looking because of, you know, recent events that it's Santa Anita and Keeneland getting some attention with horse safety. I envision a really deep racetrack, on Derby Day, and I actually think that'll play into a horse like Tacitus's hooves. So I'm moving him up a little bit, and you know, based on what I saw, he's just a horse that's just going to keep galloping it out at a mile and a quarter, and he just might be one of the few running when the others stop. So he's one I've moved up in recent weeks. I wasn't sold on him in either of his two wins this year, but hopefully we'll learn from my mistakes, and I think 8-1 is a fair price.
Yeah, I was interested in that work as well. I wasn't there to physically see that work, Ed. But I was interested to know that they started him in front of his workmate. And normally, particularly as you train up for the Derby, most trainers put their horses behind their workmate and let them kind of come to them and rally and kind of finish in front. I just thought it was a little unusual that they started Tacitus in front of his workmate.
Yeah, that is interesting, and I haven't heard the comments from Mott as to why, but, you know, the Derby is definitely a race where they're coming at you from all corners, at every point in the race. It's actually kind of a little bit of a cagey move to, you know, prepare the horse for, having someone come up on them and wanting to respond and, to get that experience, obviously not in race at Churchill Downs, but to get it in the setting where, you know, the rider on him could give the cue at the 8th pole or 16th pole, wherever it was, and clearly he responded because he did not shut down, as I said, after that gallop out.
Yeah.
Very interesting move to me, and like I said, didn't love him in his two wins, but coming around to him now.
Ryan, when you put a horse on the lead in a workout with a partner, are you trying to get more speed, or are you just, as Ed noted, are you trying to just make them a little bit more aware of this could be their surroundings? What would you make of putting a workmate behind one and maybe prompting them from behind?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure of the merits either way, but if Bill Mott did it, he's a Hall of Fame trainer, and I'll go ahead and defer to him. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's done very well. I mean, he trained a pretty good horse in Cigar, and he's had multiple great stakes winners. So I think I'll go ahead and defer to him.
You know, our job here, Ryan, is to second guess everybody, including
yeah,
all the trainers.
I'm too nice, apparently.
and apparently he needs to be second guessed because he's yet to win a Kentucky Derby.
Well, that might change here in about 10 days.
Well, obviously you're a Tacitus fan.
Yeah.
So tell us why you like Tacitus.
Well, honestly, I think it's my top two are Game Winner and Tacitus. I think Game Winner, a lot of people are going to start discounting because he didn't win his last two races. He was on a long, you know, he was on a layoff, and he came back, and he lost by a nose in one of the divisions of the Rebel, and then he lost by a half length in the Arkansas Derby. I think people are going to, you know, discount him because of him not winning. And, you know, he had some training anomalies, I guess, because of the situation at Santa Anita. So he's the horse I like the best. But going back to Tacitus, if you just look at his past performances, and you look at some of the speed figures and you look at how he's able to finish races, I think that come 10 days from now, when everyone else is starting to get tired and everybody else is starting to go backwards. I think we're going to see a late forward move from Tacitus, and he's somebody that I'm going to key at the top of exotic bets.
You know, Ed, the Wood Memorial hasn't had a winner in the Kentucky Derby since Fuzi Ichi Pegasus. And I know I butchered that Japanese name.
Fupeg, yeah.
Fupeg. Let's go Fupeg.
That's what Corky Pig has to call him.
There you go. Why has the Wood dropped off the face of the earth as a major prep for the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, in general, I'll get on my soapbox real quick and say I think all the 100-point races should either be grade ones or grade twos. I realize that, you know, some have had more recent success than others. I just think they ebb and flow. They're all made prep for the world's greatest race, really. So call them grade ones, call them grade twos. They all should be the same. Fupeg is the last Wood winner to win the Derby, but there was quite a stretch there from 2000 to 2003. Kind of my second Empire Maker in 03, where the Wood was pretty much the preeminent race. And that's less than 20 years ago, and I don't think that's enough history to downgrade it. I look at those three races, and Safe Race deserves to be a grade one until, to use your term, really does fall off the face of the earth. But all that said, we're just in a time right now where the California horses have been unstoppable, starting with Olive Another in 2000, Pharaoh, Nyquist, all win in that seven derby stretch. So when they're all based in California, that typically is going to favor the preps there as well. Arkansas Derby, and then Nyquist did ship to Florida, but those horses just don't go to New York, especially the Ford Derby, and that's all I talk about, too. The better horses have been out west, and that means they're not going to run at Aqueduct in April, but the race deserves to be a grade one, and maybe this is the year it gets its due, because not only do I think Tacitus is one of the most likely winners, I think Tax and High Call are two of the horses at 30-40 to 1 that can be a factor. Ryan mentioned it in like High Call, and he's a long shot and deservedly so, but I see the Wood Memorial as a potential key race this year.
Well, that's interesting, and I'm glad that I would be glad to see the Wood be restored to kind of an upper echelon prep race as well. We've gone about 28 minutes without talking about either Omaha Beach or the Baffert horses, which I think is rare. But Omaha Beach has been on the track. Ed, give us your impressions of what he looks like. And much has been made, of course, of his farrier being flown in by Richard Mandela and a new patch for a quarter crack has been added this week. Some have said, well, this has been an ongoing situation for quite some time. It's no big deal. But it is a quarter crack, and quarter cracks can develop or escalate at any moment in time. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's like you said, like I'm about to say, based on what you said, it's one of those things that it's fine until it's not. And for now, it's been fine. And if you look at his running lines, I mean, Mandela's never really had to stop on this horse, even when he was having his losing streak before finally breaking his maiden. So I definitely am going to take the trainer at his word, which I know is always dicey, especially this time of year. But he seems comfortable, confident, very willing to talk about it. It's just part of the horse's story, and he's embraced that. All that said, again, to echo what we led into this with, if he doesn't go to the track one day and, oh, we need to work on it again, then he becomes a complete toss for me, because there's just no way, missing any training at this point and dealing with quarter crack is going to win the Derby. Saw Empire Maker go through it in 03. He couldn't overcome it. Granted, Bunnyside was a great animal as well. But he was the best of that crop, and he missed some training. Definitely cost him on Derby Day. So Omaha Beach, it's worth watching what he does over the next 10 days. But as long as it's all of the same we've seen leading into these other races, there's no reason to think he can't unfortunately, his best shot has never been fast enough based on first net speed ratings. And at the price, I definitely have to play against him.
You know, I can't remember exactly the name of the horse off the top of my head, but Joe Sharp had a horse that he's put over at the training center. Then he moved to Keeneland, I think trying to dodge.
Gervin.
That's it, Gervin. With the whole quarter crack issue, you know, it's kind of like a hangnail. You know, it's there until it's kind of splinters off. But you know, I just think that he's run you know, really two nice races down at Oaklawn, and for this to kind of pop up, so to speak. Although I will say, last spring after Justify won the Derby, Baffert summoned his farrier up from Florida and did a little work on Justify with a glue on the shoe prior to running into Preakness. So it can either work either way, I guess.
Yeah, and you two know better than me, having been around more horses and owned them and partnerships, et cetera. You know, there's an infinite number of ways your horse, you know, needs some training or a race to go on or needs work, et cetera. Quarter crack is a popular talking point, but any 20 of these, you could probably point to something and blow it up into a major issue if you wanted to. So, like I said, to me, being on the track every day, sticking to the pattern, sticking to the plan, that's what's important. That's what tells me the horse is doing fine. But any deviation from that, this close to Derby, and it's an X.
Yeah. Before we leave, Ryan Dickey, you mentioned Game Winner as being one of your top at least horses to consider. He is my horse as well. I just, you know, I know that no two-year-old champ has won the Derby, having lost two races in his three-year-old career in quite some time. I think it's been decades. But I think that Game Winner probably provides, in a field of uncertainty, a bit of certainty. Baffert doesn't ship in till late. I think they're supposed to arrive maybe late this week. Obviously, nobody's going to question Baffert's strategy in doing that. But give me your thoughts regarding Team Baffert with not only Game Winner, but Improbable and the jockey kind of situation. Game Winner is going to continue to get Joel Rosario, but Improbable is getting a new rider. And then Roadster is picking up a new rider as well.
Well, I mean, I think you hit on the head there. It's like, you know, you can't really second-guess Baffert. I mean, it seems like he knows what he's doing as far as these big races, especially the Derby of late. He's got three horses that are going to be in this Kentucky Derby, and I think one of them is the most probable winner, and that's Game Winner. I think one of them is got a very good chance to hit the board, you know, be in the superfecta, you know, make some noise, and that's Improbable. And then I think he's got another one that's going to burn a lot of money, and I'm happy, very, very happy that there's a horse that's going to burn a lot of money, and that's Roadster. I don't think Roadster has the foundation to do well here. Now, I know that he's had other horses in the past who haven't had a great, quote-unquote, foundation and end up doing very well, i.e. winning the Triple Crown, but I don't think Roadster's that horse. So, for me, he can do the jockey juggling as much as he wants, but I have three tiers of what his three horses are going to do. One is win, one is do well, and one is not do well. So that's where I stand on Baffert.
So you're not a trifecta guy with Team Baffert?
No. At one point, about a week ago, I thought about doing superfectas by having Game Winner and Improbable in the 1-2 spot only, and then going 5 and then 7 deep. But then I decided that I'm not going to do that because I really like Tacitus. So I think my top two in a betting situation like that, I'm going to put Game Winner and Tacitus on top.
Last question before we leave, and I appreciate you guys' time again today. Ed DeRosa, would you rather have a jockey who has never ridden your horse before going on, getting up in the Derby a la Juan Giroux on the Roadster, or would you rather have a patch on a quarter crank?
I'd rather have Florent Giroux.
Okay.
I'm a Flo fan, so specifically with him, it's a thumbs up. But I mean, even in general, you know, as much as I was like, well, as long as he stays in training, which I do believe in, but it can be an issue. Like it's not now, and I accept that, as I said, but the quarter craft much more likely to be an issue than a veteran jockey riding in the race the first time.
Okay, boys, I appreciate it very much. Always enlightening, entertaining. You know, Ed, keep on supporting that By My Standards as much as you can on social media. Let's drive that place way down.
I might drive it up when people know I'm
top. And let's keep the ball rolling in that direction so that game winner's odds can float up. We're all in this together, brother.
You know it.
All right, boys. I appreciate it. Ed DeRosa, Director of Marketing over at Bristet, the only place you need to go for all your handicapping tools and needs. And my good friend, my ally, my go-to guy, Ryan Dickey, holding down the fort for us up at Keeneland, soon to be transferring all of his talents down to the River City here in Louisville. I look forward to seeing you soon, my friend Ryan and Ed. Thanks for your all's time.
Thanks. I can't wait for Ed to show me all the good places to eat.
I can't wait to bring you.
Bring some Nexium.
Fair enough.
This
podcast brought to you by Nexium 5.
Take care, my friends.